Welcome back to Mountain Money. In our studio this morning, we have Ellie Shropshire, who is the head chef at Ellie's Chef Catering Cafe, which has taken up residence at a wonderful location inside the Kimball Arts Center. Welcome, Ellie.
Hi, welcome. Thank you for the welcome.
And how long have you been at the, how long has your location been open?
About a month now at the cafe.
And tell us a little bit about, you know, the environment, the recipes, the menus that you serve.
The menus. I'll start with our breakfast tacos, which are unique to Park City. We've got our signature bowls, which are salads, grain salads and regular salads. We kept Carlene's house roasted turkey sandwich.
Oh, that's a really, for those of us who are longtime fans of Uptown Fair, the existence of the turkey is a very exciting piece of news.
That's right. We squeeze our own lemonade. We have sweets. Basically, it's soup, salad, sandwich, and sweets.
Now, you mentioned the concept of a breakfast taco. Carlene would never get up early enough to let us have breakfast. Are you guys open for breakfast?
We are, starting at 9.
So you're open at 9, and then this is in the Kimball Arts Center, so it's in the same location that Uptown Fair.
Exactly, at the inside the Kimball Arts Center on Kearns.
So you're open at 9, and how long are you open? When do you close?
We close at 5, and on Saturdays, we open at 11.
And tell me what you're doing about marketing. I suppose part of it is spending time with us, but...
It is. Part of it is spending time with you. Yeah, we have a marketing person that helps us out. We send newsletters, and we already had a pretty solid client base from the catering business, so we're hoping to cross-market those clients with the cafe clients.
And I think when Carlene left, we had her on as a guest, and she had a regular group of folks that would come in every day. I think, Roger, you were part of that group occasionally.
Once or twice a week, yes.
Once or twice a week, okay. And is that group back?
Some of them are back, and we are hoping to let all the rest of them know that we're open and they can come back.
We have one of them in the studio now, so he knows about it. So I've got a little cheat sheet here with a little bit of background information just to make my job easier when we're chatting. Mm-hmm. And I love this line that I suspect you wrote and my producer copied over here. It says that your food is handcrafted from natural ingredients. I love that term, handcrafted. But talk to us about natural ingredients. What does natural ingredients mean to you?
What it means to us is we only use whole foods. We only use products that we can pronounce the name of, and we make everything in-house from scratch. It is literally made in our kitchen. Our catering kitchen is just behind the art center, and we just make everything in-house.
So I'm gonna put in a plug for you.
Okay.
2 weeks ago, I decided to try to cut out all those preservatives and all those unnatural sweeteners and that. And I feel great. It's been 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. It's also a lot of work.
Yeah.
So the ability to go to a restaurant where they're doing that for you is a huge plus. Did I hear you right? You were talking about breakfast bowls, which are kind of like a quinoa bowl with lettuce or spinach in it?
Right, the signature bowls. The breakfast tacos we have, and it's black bean puree, eggs, cheese, and on a gluten-free organic corn tortilla. And the signature bowls are more like salads.
And you're serving those for breakfast, because I think a lot of people don't think a salad for breakfast, but it can be a great way to start your day.
We'll serve breakfast and lunch any time of the day. If we're open, if we have it, we'll serve it.
In terms of you mentioned that you were open on up until Saturday. Has the catering business, do you think there's going to be some synergy with the catering business? Was that an existing business?
Yes, the catering business, we've been in business for 15 years, and I think there's going to be a lot of synergy with that. I was hoping to turn catering clients into retail clients into catering clients, and also leveraging our operational efficiencies.
Well, this is a business show. I wanted to get to that.
Right, yeah.
Now, you mentioned that your catering kitchen is behind. Have you changed kitchens when you took over the Kimball space? Have you now moved your catering kitchen into Kimball?
No, we still have our catering kitchen, which is behind the Kimball Arts Center. It's literally, they're literally in each other's backyards.
Well, that's a real advantage, because I think that kitchen in the Kimball is somewhat limited.
It is small.
And you can now carry food from the catering kitchen into the Kimball?
We can. We do some prep in the catering kitchen, But it is cooked. The food that you order in the cafe is made in the cafe. Okay. Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about the catering business. What kinds of events have you catered? What's your range of operations?
The catering business. I've been in business for 15 years with the catering and private chef side of it here in Park City. We've catered anywhere from 2 to 400 guests.
400.
Mm-hmm. It was
that
a Sundance
nice
party.
Wedding. Okay.
Yeah. We do everything: breakfast, lunch, dinner, and appetizer parties. We do all sorts of celebrations: birthday, Sundance, weddings.
So restaurants a tough business, right? We have a lot of restaurant owners come in as guests. It's really a labor of love. And I think catering's probably similar. I mean, what does it take? Obviously, you have to have great quality food, but what does it take to be a successful caterer, and how is that different than what it takes to be a successful restaurateur?
I thought the businesses were going to be a little bit more similar. It turns out they're quite different. For the catering business, our mission is delicious food, gracious service, exceptional experience, and we've carried that mission over to the cafe as well. But with the catering business, we know when the clients, you know, when the events are, what time it is, how many people to expect, how many guests. With the cafe, we have the time set, but we don't know when the guests are coming or what they might want. So that's the biggest difference, is that learning curve.
Yeah, and so you've been in the catering business before. Have you been in the restaurant business before?
Not until now.
Okay, so you're learning as you go. How are you climbing up that learning curve? Obviously, it's easier to learn from other people's path than it is on your own.
Right. I also know a lot of the people in town that are restaurant owners or managers, and I have reached out to a number of them to ask advice and have meetings. The other thing, last winter I did the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses program, and I felt like that really gave me a lot more confidence going into a new business.
Yeah, that's a great program. We've had a couple guests on the show from that. What was one or two of your biggest takeaways from that program?
Know your numbers. That was probably the biggest one. And
what does that mean?
It just means keeping an eye on your numbers. What are you spending on pay? What are your expenses? What are your revenues? What are your expenses? What are you spending on payroll? What are you spending on cost of goods sold?
And trying to create budgets to try to look forward to, you know, whether you're getting a variance, and why is there a variance, and how should I address it? That kind of thing.
Right. So if your food costs are at a certain percentage, and then all of a sudden they're up, well, what's happening? What's going on? Why is that?
Mm-hmm. And so that was one thing, was know your numbers. What else?
Yeah, know your numbers. I think the mission statement, having a clear picture of your mission statement and your marketing statement, and just the different categories of the business. And probably the most challenging is the management piece.
And well, let's talk about that. In your operation, how big a span of control do you have? How many employees do you have, and how many of them, do they all report directly to you? I assume they do.
Well, no, I have a manager at the cafe, and there's three full-time people there, including one of the chefs from the kitchen that helps out. And on the catering side, I've got three full-time chefs, a full-time office person, a full-time lead server, and then a whole bunch of part-time servers.
I assume you have a whole group of people that are sort of on demand. Like when you get a big order, you have to have. It's almost like a contractor with subs. You have to have a list of dependable people that you can call.
Exactly, and I do. And a lot of those people have worked with us for a long time, and a lot of those people are happy to work in the cafe too. So again, there's some cross utilization of a lot of aspects.
Now, is this one of those things where, because of the nature of this town, we have a lot of people who work interesting lifestyles, who they want to be able to ski, they want to be able to do outdoor thing. Are you able to tap into that culture as part of your server base?
Yes, in the server base for sure. And a lot of the part-time servers have full-time jobs.
Okay.
And then they just work with us, you know, part-time. Or some of them don't want to work full-time, and they can just come and work with us part-time.
We, as Doug said, we are fortunate to be able to interview a number of restaurant owners, and we keep hearing about increasing challenges in personnel. Now, you sound like you have a pretty stable base.
Well, part of the reason I opened the cafe was to even out my year. We're super busy in the winter with the catering, fairly busy in the summer, and then like everybody else in the spring and the fall, we're quite a bit slower.
Mm-hmm.
And my idea with having the cafe and appealing to the local population was to even out that year so I could keep the good people. I have a great team, a fantastic team, and I want to keep those people if I have business to keep them.
You know, and that brings up a great point, just this town's past full employment. I have a 15-year-old daughter, and it's crazy. I mean, there are retailers that are actively reaching out to her. You know, she applied for jobs back in April or May for the summer. She chose one, but now the other retailers are staying in touch with her and asking, you know, how's your job going? If you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you. And Roger, I don't know about you, but when I was 15 years old, I had to work really hard to find work. And so it just talks about how tight the labor force is here.
It is hard.
Yeah. So how do you find your team? How do you find people?
We advertise on Craigslist. We advertise sometimes in the Park Record. It's a lot of word of mouth. Maybe a part-time server works with somebody else at their job and they're looking for part-time. We do have a couple of younger people. If your daughter's ever looking, you can ask her to call me.
Yeah. No, you know, it's funny too. And because of that, you know, oftentimes there's other things in your life you want to do, and you can't do it because of the work schedule. But for her, she's able to talk to people about, well, I can work, but I want, you know, this week off for this thing in the summer, or I want to be able to do this on Wednesdays in the afternoon. Can I leave early on Wednesday? And I think historically she would not be able to do that, but because how tight the labor force is, employers are willing to be flexible. Have you found you've had to do that as well?
Absolutely. And I feel like people need to have a life, and so for them to be happy at work, if they ask for time off, I always try to accommodate it. Obviously, sometimes you can't, but, you know, try and accommodate those situations so people can do what they need to do to make them happy so they can come back and do what they love and make our guests happy, too.
So we need to wrap up, but I want to ask you one more question on the restaurant, kind of a chance to kind of plug your favorite dish. What's either your favorite dish or what's the most popular dish?
Favorite dish, I'm pretty sure, is the kale and quinoa bowl. And it's great for me because I can add cheese, but if you're vegan, it's great because it is a vegan dish.
I want to say something on this because, as I said 2 weeks ago, just to keep it simple, I said I was cutting out the sweeteners, but actually I'm giving vegan a go.
Oh.
And so a quinoa bowl was something that I'd kind of reluctantly have. But you know what?
It's delicious,
it
right?
It is delicious. Yeah. And for the last 2 weeks, it's become a staple. So for the folks out in listening to the show that are like, I don't know if I want a salad. Boy, you really can change your taste and give a healthy quinoa bowl a chance. It's much healthier for you than a greasy hamburger at a fast food restaurant.
Oh, for sure. And we have a couple of vegan options. The watermelon gazpacho is vegan. That particular bowl is vegan. And right now we have a chef's selection. It's a grilled vegetable and hummus wrap, so it's also vegan.
That sounds delicious. Okay, well, thanks for joining us. Tell our audience where they can find you, your days and hours of operation, please.
Okay. Ellie's Cafe, we're located in the Kimball Arts Center on Kearns Boulevard. We're open 6 days a week. And also you can find us on our website, elliesparkcity.com.
Ellie, thank you for joining us. And stay tuned to Mountain Money. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you.